Yeah, they've really started to spread out the load as far as games go. Because I think more eyeballs get on games that way, I would assume. Because, I mean, I remember when and it wasn't that long ago, the Mac's like, hey, why don't we play games on Thursday nights? No one's doing that, right? That'll be great for us. And then the Big Ten's like, oh, you get lots of viewers doing that? Oh, well, shit. Well, why don't we do that too?
Yeah, and now every team's on Thursday. So the Mac just went, hey, we'll be on Tuesday and Wednesday if you want. When no one is going to be able to, I mean, no one's going to remember to watch. I love they call it Maction. That's just fantastic. It's so cheesy and bad.
Oh yeah, I love it because it's so bad. Like I will hashtag that every now and again when I really approve of something.
Yeah, it just. I'm confused by some of what the Big Ten does now. I mean, besides having a game in Ireland between Northwestern and Nebraska, you know, the clear ties to Ireland, they led off with a Big Ten game. This Penn State Purdue is a Big Ten game. Like, I'm just confused why they're doing, like, leading off with, like, games that actually matter. It's kind of weird.
Especially when all teams involved are probably going to ha then have four consecutive games that have nothing to do with the Big Ten.
Yeah. That's why I don't get why Purdue and Penn State is right now.
I guess
But.
it's. I don't know if it's just the way the schedule is falling for everyone now. I mean, that is still crazy that most of these schedules are at least, what, 5 years in advance?
Yeah.
Already, like, cause yeah, what? It's 22. I bet you people are booked out through like 27 or something in that area. It's just like, holy shit.
I keep forgetting it's 2022, so I keep seeing things like, yep, coming in 2023. I'm like, that's like 2 years away. And I'm like, oh no, that's just next year. Because, like, DC moved a bunch of their movies around, because that's just. They've been having a good thing going, so they're just going to mess it all up. But. So, yeah, they keep talking about this is going to come out then, whatever else. And, like, there's a. Well, this doesn't have anything to do with it, but there's a new Winnie the Pooh movie coming out. Have you seen this?
Oh, no.
Okay, so Winnie the Pooh is public domain. Anybody can make a Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, that is interesting.
Okay. It is called Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was waiting for what the twist is that you know, you would quote unquote wouldn't expect.
Yeah, so it's Christopher Robin, you know, he got a girlfriend and left, you know? Well, they come back, and it's live action too, it's not animated, it's live action. So they come back, and Winnie the Pooh and Piglet have grown up. And they are serial killers. They're like Jason, Freddy.
Oh
This movie looks awesome. It's gonna be horrible, but I'm gonna watch it. It looks fantastically good.
Yeah, I mean, the premise is so ridiculous. It's one where it's just like, man, yeah, I gotta take a look at this. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, and it is a bear and a pig. Like, but they're like, you know, they walk around like human beings, but it's not just a guy in a pig mask. It's an actual pig.
Oh my gosh.
So yes, so it's like a weird hybrid of person pig and person bear. And I showed Elise last night. She goes, I don't know about this. I'm like, we're not gonna. It's not coming out in theaters. So, I mean, we're watching it. So, but yeah, I think that comes out this year. But it's like whenever they talk about movies coming out or whatever. But to go back to football, yeah, they do this stuff like 5 years in advance. Because I remember when Ohio State and Notre Dame signed the home and home deal. Because Notre Dame had just backed out of the series with Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they made some snarky comment about how they wanted to be on like a national stage or something. And I was like, oh, okay. And that's why when Michigan played Notre Dame the next time, they beat the bejesus out of them and like sent them packing. So.
Yeah, I don't know why you make that comment, but that's okay.
It's petty ass Notre Dame. Which
Yeah, this is true.
they keep talking about Notre Dame joining the Big Ten. or the Big 20, apparently, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
And, which is just outrageous. And I'm like, no, fuck them. No. You already have a deal with NBC and Peacock. We don't need Notre Dame. Fuck them.
Well, yeah, it's kind of one of those ones, too, where at this juncture, I suppose they've been with NBC for so long. I'm like, what would be their draw to getting out of their deal?
Oops, hang on a sec.
You know, like I guess I really don't see an upside for them. Like, okay. I'm not that I like Notre Dame, but it's just like you said, they have their literal own network for college football. Like, I guess if there's more money out there to be in a conference,
yep.
I mean, I guess I don't feel like they play any. They get enough name opponents. I will say that, you know, I feel like they play a fairly normal schedule, like college schedule, where, you know, there's always the three or four games that are against kind of no-name teams. I do feel like a lot of preseasons have started to fill in with at least one headliner game for, you know, the big-name teams, which is, I think, a cool thing. But still, they have at least three fluffy opponents surrounding that game.
Okay, see, Notre Dame, all right, they've got their deal with NBC. They just do. But after that, they have no deal for their away games. They're at the mercy of whatever conference they're playing, if I get this right.
Oh, okay.
So, that's money lost. So, they, because right now they're in the ACC for everything but football. I mean, I think that's just embarrassing by the ACC to do that. But, so like all their basketball games, they get part of the TV deal for all that stuff. Volleyball, hockey, whatever. They get part of the TV deal money for that stuff, but they don't share their NBC money with the ACC for football. Which is why I said it's idiotic for anybody to go along with this. All you're doing is helping fill the coffers for Notre Dame. They don't bring any prestige in any other sport except for football, and that's tenuous at best. So, I mean, by name, sure, but...
Yeah, they still...
2 years ago, 4 years ago? I mean, they get trounced every time they play a real opponent.
Yeah, because didn't they get to the playoff this past year? Or was it two years ago?
It was a couple years ago. I think, was it Alabama that just drilled them?
Well, yeah. Whoever. And then that was another one where they just got hammered.
Yeah. Yeah, so whatever. But the TV deal, I'm trying to take my emotions out of this. But the TV deal aspect, they go, like, so the Big Ten has NBC and Peacock, Fox, and I forgot the other one. The Big Ten Network, which is co-owned with Fox as well. So they've got CBS. They're taking over the college football game of the week on CBS. It's not the SEC anymore. I think it's what starts next year.
Okay.
That's the big news that comes out of it by like a game thing. Like, it's always been CBS as far as I remember. It's crazy. Big Ten was always ABC. SEC was CBS. But anyways, so Big Ten automatically has three other networks now, where Notre Dame's got their one, and they sure as hell aren't going to be raking in $92 million or whatever it is a year for the one network. At least I don't think so. Because I was also shocked at that MLS deal too, so.
Oh, yeah. These sports rights are completely wild as far as what the numbers are.
Okay, I just looked it up. They make $26 million a year from that NBC deal. That's it.
Yeah, but the nine.
Yes, that's a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say the 92 gets split between, like you said, 20 teams. in the Big Ten. So
No. That's every team.
Oh, that's every team. Okay.
Yeah, remember they signed it turns out to be an $8 billion deal for 7 years or something.
Oh, okay. Was that? I don't remember what the final numbers were.
Yeah. So that's a year. That's per team.
Good gravy.
That means Northwestern is getting. I don't think it's 92. I think it might be 72. Either way, it's more than 26 million.
Yeah. A much larger number.
Yeah. So it's beneficial for Notre Dame to join the conference. To me, at least. And then, as a Catholic institution, do they pay taxes?
I don't
or
know.
Is it just church?
I'd imagine the university maybe has to, or I don't. Yeah, I don't know how that works. Well, no, schools don't. Do schools not pay taxes? I don't know. I don't know that shit, man.
That's what I'm looking up. I love it. Notre Dame NBC money. That's not what I put. I just changed it. I'm sure it does, but what is this thing doing? I didn't. Google's on its own wavelength right now. I don't know what it's doing. I put Notre Dame. Does Notre Dame pay taxes? Very first one, Georgia Republic Broadcasting. Experts say a Trump-backed charity is pushing the boundary. Like, what does this have to do with anything?
That has nothing to do with the question that I just asked,
Randall,
Google.
Is that you? Let's see. Let's try this again. Does Notre Dame pay taxes? They're a 501c. Thanks. What does that mean? The endowment tax became law. Imposes a 1.4% excise tax on net investment income in private schools with at least 500 to it. Yeah, so I guess they do.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's a business.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. But, well, wait a minute. There's something for tax-exempt private and public universities and colleges do not pay income taxes. However, they do pay forms of taxes, about payroll tax. Okay. All right. So, yes, they do. So, okay. I thought so, but when you get into that weird religious thing, it's like, okay.
No. So, yeah.
Well, that's a big thing down here because every Baptist church is basically its own business. So, they're always decrying that they're not a business, that they're a religion, but they run the church like a business. I go, well, if it quacks like a duck, looks like a duck. So, yeah. Anyways, but yeah, so that TV right stuff, it's fascinating. And I still can't wait to hear these schools cry poor. Well, that has to be for the whole athletic department. Just for all the money you're throwing at women's gymnastics. Shut the fuck up. Or maybe you could now. That'd be nice. But
yeah, I would hope that their facilities are at least up to some type of snuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think of, like, even like, I'm putting this in quotes, the poorest school in every conference. Like Purdue, like that's a game I still have on right now. They're going to be making a shit ton of money. But I guarantee you tuition ain't going down. And they'll decry and say, well, the money will go to this, it'll go to this. Like, okay. What do you do with all that money then? So it's just insane to me, the amount of money going for a seemingly, supposedly amateur level sports.
No. Yeah, the football, it's definitely hard to talk about not in those terms. I do kind of understand that maybe everything else is not really breaking even.
Well, maybe
but
basketball.
Basketball, I would think. Baseball, it's some schools, mostly Southern, but
yes,
not exclusively.
College baseball is big down here. because there's no team. You got the Braves and the Nationals. But Nationals aren't that old, comparatively. So
no,
yeah. So that's why college athletics is so big in the South. In case no one knew that, so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you got the Braves, but that's it, huh?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Panthers are only about 21 years old, 22, 23, something like that. I mean, that's a relatively young, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a crap penalty. I heard Melissa yell, that's crap. She should not be happy about that.
Yeah, this is going to be the best podcast ever because of the additional commentary coming in from upstairs.
This poor fat guy dives at Clifford. He hits him low. And like, well, he's in his passing stance. Am I supposed to wait till he's done throwing the ball to hit him? I don't understand this.
No below the knee. That's been a rule for a while now.
It didn't look like it was below the knee to me, but the guy also fell into him. He dove and totally underestimated his dexterity there. He did not reach the guy in the air. So, anyways. I'm just happy college football's back. I got a nice snoozer on Saturday, so that'll be fun. Actually, the first three games are snoozers.
Oh, yeah. Except
they're playing Hawaii at night.
Those are the worst when it's just like, guys, this is not an at-night game.
Yeah, like, what are we doing? Save it for something special. Like, but whatever. Like, for Purdue, this is a gigantic game. Penn State at night in Lafayette, that's huge.
Oh.
For Penn State, it's like, why are we playing on Thursday night? As much as I don't like them, you know, reality's reality, so...
Yeah, I mean, teams are just everywhere now. I mean, I don't think you should really need to be bummed about it one way or the other at this juncture. Like you said, like the Big Ten has a deal with three different networks, along with their own network that a majority of people still get. Like, I think they even advertise that one for YouTube TV. Like, that's how big of a name it is that YouTube...
That was one of the reasons I got YouTube TV.
You know?
Yeah. Because there's a bunch of other stuff, and they're like, yeah, you get this and this, and I'm like, no. Oh, there it is. All right, cool, I got it. We're going to add the sports package. Just give it. Just give it to us. So.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I do like that they have some pretty good college hockey coverage on there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, they have, now they have a Big Ten app, of course. And you can pay, I don't see the benefit of it. Because I have Big Ten Network and I have a DVR.
And,
but you can see any, it's apparently any sport from your school. So you can pay for the package just for your school, just for something else, and then for everything. And I was like, well, that's interesting. But then you don't get to watch the games live. And I just went, why are we bothering that? Like, I can take my YouTube TV on my phone, I guess, or Sling, or whatever. Why am I paying extra to watch the game the next day? Doesn't make any sense.
I guess if it's the only way to watch it, but yeah, I mean, if it's passed, that always seems to be the justification for why these numbers are so astronomical for live events. That, you know, it's the biggest draw because most people want to watch it on time. And, you know, hey, I've been known to tape mostly beginnings of games to, you know, because we're out doing something, this, that, or the other thing. I just know that I'm not going to catch, like, the first half hour or something. And I do try to avoid it from time to time and just tape it and jump in.
See, I did that, I think, once or twice. And I just ended up fast-forwarding, like, all right, what's going on, Like, I just want to know what's going on already. So, I'm just too impatient. So, I just don't bother anymore. But I will say, like, on that aspect, taking the wrestling, I have actually been trying to catch SmackDown live lately. mean, it helps not going out. But, you know, and the turnaround, the product qualities help too. But I have, like, tried to catch stuff as it happens, especially with wrestling. It's not the same, really, because I mean, SmackDown's recorded, so it's a taped episode. Even last week's was recorded, too. Like, the one we watched wasn't live. So, it was recorded first, then they were recording this week's in the regular time slot. But yeah, like that, I don't know. That's something I try to catch all the time. But if I don't, like with wrestling, if I don't, unless I hear something's phenomenal, then I'll be like, that's okay. I'll just read the results.
Yeah, I almost always tape SmackDown these days. And same thing for, Rampage afterwards. And
I will tell you, I barely watch that show.
It's like my new Ring of Honor, where not much happens. It's hilarious that all of the fans Mark Henry does this final interview for the main event. And he doesn't even do anything special, but he's like, now it's time for the main event.
Main event, yeah. I kind of dig that.
Yeah, it does give it a nice vibe, and like the crowd getting into it definitely helps. But that is one of those things that I actually kind of myself look forward to. I'm like, that's kind of a fun role to put Mark Henry into, to keep him on TV without, you know, I don't know if I need him on commentary. They have enough people in there on a regular basis.
Four commentators at one time. Add another 5-6 people to commentary. It'll be perfect.
Jesus. It is. On Rampage, it's especially bad. They don't do it as much on Dynamite as they do on Rampage, where it's just like, hey, we got Chris Jericho and one of the guys from the Jericho Appreciation Society, along with Excalibur and Jim Ross. It's just like, why is this happening right now? Or, like, I think Taz and Ricky Starks were there together a couple of times. Yep. Two other announcers. It's just like, four people is a lot, guys.
They've got so many people doing commentary sometimes, they forget to turn the mics on. It happened last week. I was yelling at the TV. The only way you could hear Jim Ross was because he was sitting next to Excalibur. His voice was coming through Excalibur's microphone. That's why he sounded like he was in the distance half the time. And I'm like, is no one listening to the show? You can't figure out Jim Ross's mic is not working? Or it's not turned on or whatever? And then it happened again this week. This is basic television stuff. Like, well, the microphone's broken. Again? Like, get your shit together. Which is something AEW needs to do anyways. But it's little things like that drive me crazy.
Oh.
And
Yeah, weirdly, I think I remember the moment that you're talking about, or at least one of them. I guess I didn't catch it if it happened multiple times. I do remember one spot where it sounded like Jim Ross was not mic'd up properly.
Yeah. And it's just a matter of it not being turned on, plugged in, he has it muted, the booth has it muted, whatever. And it's like, someone talk to him. Someone talk to Tony Schiavone, because he's worthless on commentary. Hey, Tony, go over there and do something. Do something for a change. I'm like, yeah, you sure are right, Excalibur. That's all Tony Schiavone does. Like, streamline your product. Like, didn't we complain when WWE had three announcers? We're like, we don't need three announcers. We still don't.
No, we still do not. But thankfully, Raw is the only three announcer show.
Yes.
Because both NXT and SmackDown are two announcer.
Yeah. But what's funny is, like, what do you, like, you can't, and I'm, all right, I'll be dead serious here. Say that they decide to go with two announcers for Raw only. Who do you choose? And I know that sounds like a dumb question, but remember when Corey Graves was gone? How good Byron Saxton actually was?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where Graves, I guess I've liked him a little bit better since the Triple H change, but he still is so overbearing.
Yes.
Both on Jimmy Smith and on Byron Saxton. Like, it's just like, if Jimmy Smith does something wrong, like, he gets called out for it too, and it's just like, this sucks working with you, dude. Like, he makes mistakes too, so it's just like, come on, man. Like, and yeah, and then just the constant berating still, and it's just like,
and it serves no purpose. That's the other problem. Like, his berating of him, there's no point to it. It's just the same thing over and over again, and it's like,
oh, if I've heard about Byron Saxton's dateless life one more time, I could gouge my eyes out. It's just like, oh my gosh. And it is kind of weird if Byron Saxton is actually dating someone and he doesn't say something about it. It's still weird that he just doesn't go for it, or, you know, doesn't answer him sometimes.
Yeah. But it's also, like, especially by now, shouldn't you have something in the chamber?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know? Been years that this has been going on at this point.
Yeah. And now, Byron Saxton used to be a wrestler, so I think it'd be really funny if all of a sudden he was like, I want you in a match. And Corey Graves was like, I'm not cleared. Like, yeah, you are. And then they have a match. They have the match. It'd just be the same thing again, though. It wouldn't mean anything. But...
Well, it'd probably be better than a Michael Cole match.
True.
Although that did turn out surprisingly good, considering the circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. We all knew it was going to be a shit show. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that my bar was not going to be too high for that one to be a good match.
Yeah. I can't believe we were there for that. Like, all anyone wanted to do was just see Austin. That was it. No one really cared. It was just another overbearing thing. Like, Cole was so over the top. And then he ended up winning, which was even worse. Like, you know, the best part, it is so terrible. The best part of that story is when Jerry Lawler had a legit heart attack and almost died on camera or on TV. Because it forced Michael Cole to go back to being an announcer.
Yeah.
You know, that's what did it. He was done being a character, and he was just an announcer again.
That happened after their match?
Yes, they were still feuding, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and it was impossible...
Or at least I guess I don't remember that. It's probably the better way to put it.
Eventful. But yeah, so that's the only reason we got Michael Cole back. Because even Vince was like, well, can't get out of this one. So, you know.
Yeah, he was way too much of a character at that point. And then he became drab Michael Cole at some point where you just knew he was doing his job. And then he became veteran announcer Michael Cole, who has all the gravitas. And as soon as Pat McAfee came along, things have just been trending further upward for Michael Cole.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest tells ever was Michael Cole doing the NXT UK, the initial tournament. He was great during that show because it was a Triple H run thing. He wasn't getting yelled at. He didn't have to worry about plugging Twitter or WWE shoelaces or anything like that. All he had to do was just call the action. And he was great during that. And I remember everyone reacting like so positively. Then he goes back, yeah. And well, what you just explained happened. So
yeah, I did forget about that stop off. Because was that the only thing that was the UK? The only thing he did? Did he stop in for the women's tag? One of the women's tournaments at some point in NXT. The Mae Young Classic,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, he did that with Renee Young, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah. God, I actually forgot about that. I wonder if that sort of stuff will start coming back now.
Yeah.
How far behind is she?
She shouldn't be behind at all.
Oh, this play. I'm the one behind. That's crazy. Okay. How am I that far behind? God damn, YouTube TV. Hey, tell her to keep it down. She's giving the game away.
Oh, that's...
Back up,
yeah, it still cracks me up that you are now the one behind.
Apparently very significantly behind.
Yeah, well, I was behind by like 30 seconds when you had actual cable. It was pretty bad. You're just, you were always like, oh yeah, just wait for it. It's just like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, you never gave it away, but it was just like, oh, come on.
I think the worst was, I think, the playoffs. Like, Pittsburgh blew the game or something. And I'm just having to sit here going, oh, he's going to see this in a few seconds. Like, just get prepared to keep talking for a while. So. But, I don't even know, like, where to go with wrestling. I know we started talking about...
Well, you said you were loving SmackDown, was kind of the first part of things. And and watching it live. Like, even though I don't watch it live, I do think that thing is, it's easy to get through... They still are, and Chris and I have talked about it, they're in desperate need of help. Like, Roman Reigns chews a lot of scenery for them, but that show as a whole is kind of barren. You know, like, Drew McIntyre has been doing a good job, but yeah, like... What, they only had like three matches or something this past week?
Yeah, I think they were spreading everything out for people. Just because they knew, like, all right, these guys gotta go, then we gotta get on a plane and go. That's what I figured, that's why there was such a lull. But yeah. You're right about Roman Reigns chewing scenery. I mean, they push him as the big star. I mean, he is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, double champion, whatever, but
yeah, I'm not really arguing. Like I said, I guess I like the format that they're going with, but it does seem like some of that the other stuff on the show is skippable sometimes if it isn't Drew McIntyre.
I don't know if you know Chris talked about this, but one thing that was not skippable was that stare down with Vault, Gunther, and Sheamus, and then.
Yeah, that was a fun way to do a hype thing, just because you kind of expect... There have been so many, you know, brawls in general, I feel like, in wrestling, that it was kind of nice to have an anti-brawl, just, you know, stare down.
Well, there was a brawl going on, though.
Yeah.
Which I don't recall ever seeing that before, and I thought it was fantastic. You know, Butch is in there doing his thing, and, oh God, what's his name? Ludwig Kaiser.
Yep.
He's just like, ugh, shut up. And then they just start fighting. And those two just stand there. And the camera doesn't move. All right. On a quick aside, the camera work is getting so much better. Going back, as an illustration of this, the camera didn't cut around or anything. They kept it on those two staring at each other while they fought in the background.
Yeah.
Was it Butch or Ridge that got kicked out of the ring? You're like, where is he? He's like, oh, he's outside the ring now. They go tumbling in the foreground. And then finally,
yeah,
like, James grabs Butch, and I'm like, this is brilliant. These two guys are that intense that their friends or whatever are fighting, And they're like, nah, let him fight. I'm not going to be the guy that breaks eye contact.
Well, and it really helps that you have two people perfect to do that.
I can't wait for this match, by the way. This is going to be the best match of the card. Probably all weekend. And I don't care what AEW does. It's going to be the best match this weekend. For me personally, these two animals are going to smack the shit out of each other. And it's going to be great. I am legit looking forward to this. Like, no sarcasm at all.
Yeah, because I did mention to Chris, and I guess I hadn't thought about how much wrestling is this weekend. I'm just like, oh my god, there are three shows over the weekend here. Because I know I'm not getting to Clash at the Castle on time because I will be attending a soccer game.
What time's your soccer game?
3.
Oh, okay.
It's at 5:30, but we're starting drinking at 3.
Alright.
So.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you already saw what's going on, never mind.
Yep. So yeah, I might watch the beginning of it depending, you know, what's happening exactly, but I also have family in town, so.
Okay.
You know, not gonna really Clash at the Castle. Not gonna be a priority. The AEW pay per view because what is it all in?
All out
or all out?
Whatever.
Yeah, that is that's Sunday night, and I guess I might end up watching that. I don't think we have any plans for Sunday night. It was kind of funny, like. Yeah, I don't feel great about that pay-per-view. Like, I'm going to get it, but... they did feature most of Dynamite hyping all in, I think. But I could just look at it, look at the review that I pulled up.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing.
But, yeah. Anywho, it might end up watching that one on time, but who knows whether I will or not. Yeah, and then what? Worlds Collide is during the day?
Yeah, it's a 4? 3 or 4?
Yeah, like, that was one, I guess, this week that I had a lot of fun with, like, all of the former NXT stars for both sides of the ledger stopping down to talk to everyone ahead of their matches at Worlds Collide. Yeah. That was a really fun touch this week that not sure it necessarily would have happened had Vince been in charge.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I don't think NXT would be getting as good as it is, yes, I said that, with Vince still in charge. I mean, there's a drastic difference in that show, and maybe everyone's just getting better as well.
Yes. I definitely think that that's the case.
Yeah, well, there's that, but then I think it's been a little more concise, and it's like they figured out what to do with people. Like, Lash Legend is not good. But they put her with Pretty Deadly, so they can cover up. They have them in these 6-man matches and cover her up. Good idea. 3 annoying people in the same team. Very good idea.
Yeah, she always seemed to be looking for some help, and Pretty Deadly is a nice set of companions for her. Like you said, like, they're in that same vibe of annoying.
Yeah, did we mention them going to the bar in, like, cowboy hats and shit a couple weeks ago?
I don't think we specifically talked about that.
God. That was so good. It's just stuff like that makes me laugh, because, you know, Brooks and Jensen, whatever. They're Briggs and... No, he's a Briggs. Yeah, Briggs and Jensen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Briggs and Jensen.
So, I'm still not sold on them. Or was it Tatum Paxley? Is that the chick that's
been? Yeah, but I mean, I'm going to give her a little more leeway, knowing that I don't think she's really wrestled before. And this is really on-the-job stuff.
Yeah.
For her, I think you've mentioned, hasn't it? I feel like Briggs has been around at least for a while.
Oh, yeah, he was in Evolve.
Okay.
And that's why he's bulked up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, like, the short hair threw me off, but he's gotten bigger, like, thicker. So I guess maybe that's what they wanted him to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't look terrible. But.
Yeah, I think that he has a real, like, I don't know about I'm more questionable just on Jensen. I'm in on Briggs. I don't know if this is necessarily going to be his breakout character or anything of that nature, but, you know, it feels, you know, it's another one of those ones that I guess I'd probably make fun of it because it's me. It's a character role that I don't feel like has been on WWE TV all that much, the country boy. So I think it's a nice area to be in. Again, not sure if it's a long-term thing for Briggs, but yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he'll be fine on his own. He can talk too. And I mean, he's a project in the fact that I think he's young still. So there's plenty to go. But I don't know. I don't see anything in Jensen right now. Which is, you know, this Bull Buchanan's son?
Oh. I can see that now that you mention it.
Yeah.
That's so, wild, like, though, that's his. The Bull Buchanan was long enough ago that his son is now wrestling.
Yes. I mean, we'll always have Dominic Mysterio. Literally see him as his little cute blonde hair that grows up to have Eddie Guerrero's mullet, which is just fantastic. I still don't like him, but his hair kills me. So.
But yeah, no,
the NXT, like the whole NXT show, I thought it was kind of boring actually.
Oh,
like it didn't, like, outside the people showing up, I just didn't like. They're like talking about the security for all the tag teams. Well, why are they at each other's throat? I'm confused. Did I miss something where they just all of a sudden can't stand each other this quick?
I feel like Gallus started the brawl when they popped in and. Everyone, I guess I'm not that familiar with Gallus, but I feel like everyone kind of likes to fight, and they're also kind of hotheads and meatheads a little bit in some respect.
They're like your English blokes or those street kids.
Yeah, so I feel like it fits their characters that they'd want to fight each other.
Yeah, because the Coffee Brothers actually do fight each other. So, you know, that's happened quite a bit. But yeah, like, the Gallus, I did forget about them attacking the Diamond Mine. So that made sense. But it's like, everyone's trying to fight each other. And I'm like, ah, Jesus Christ. Now it's a four-way. I'm like, oh, so that's how they're going to get around it. The women stuff, okay. Okay, like, sure. I don't know, nothing really helped me. By the way, we didn't do a show last week, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, to back up the last week real quick, Wendy Chu, please don't ever put her back in the pajama gimmick again.
Oh.
She showed her actual talent last week. Like, everyone kept saying she's good in the ring. Okay, no, she's not. Because she's wearing fucking slippers or whatever and looking like a goddamn idiot. And then this week, she's in, like, her, like, wrestling onesie. Okay, that's kind of clever. That match was good. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying that.
Well, she's one that I definitely saw a handful of her matches in Ring of Honor. So I was definitely on the she's good train. But yeah, she hadn't really been able to show it. She's kind of been put in not very enviable positions, honestly. She's gotten to be featured, but also kind of put in a position where she's pretty much destined to lose.
I didn't even mind Tiffany Stratton losing. The match was good. She showed that she had like a different edge to her. So I'm like, all right, this is a character I'll be all right with. But I just pray that they don't put her back in that dumbass suit, doing her, oh, I'm so tired bullshit. Keep Tiffany Stratton as this weird, I don't know what she was doing last week, but keep her doing all these weird ass looks now. To have her still be the typical little selfish bitch. And you got money right there. But going back to this week, I mean, my new replacement for Wendy Choo is Joe Gacy. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of his face. I'm tired of the way he talks. All this bullshit. I just, not even like in a, I don't like the character. I'm sorry. Not even like I don't like him because he's a bad guy. I just don't like it. It's awful.
It's definitely gotten a little long in the tooth. It was more fun when it was the original gimmick.
Yeah, now he's just trying like mental manipulation instead of just being like the all-inclusive guy. Like,
And I guess the other part is that he hasn't been given anything.
no.
You know, like he hasn't gotten any of the wins to go, oh, he can back this up. Every challenge that he's had, he's lost, and it's just like when you have a preacher kind of character like that, they need to have some reason to have sway over their comrades, and he doesn't really have any right now. Like I'm just sitting there going, why would Cameron Grimes join with these jokers? Like it's like going, hey. Offense meant join the Dark Order. It's just like, no, no, like I
That's a
know.
really good analogy. That's actually a really good comparison. Because the Dark Order sucked until Brody Lee got there.
Oh, and they've
And
sucked
then it
since
made sense.
Brody Lee left.
No, they had a pretty decent run when
Oh.
like a Hangman was like hot as hell. After
A
that, it's been trash, but
yeah.
we have to do a whole show on AEW anyways, because there's not enough time. The flaws in that company and show are outrageous. And I don't, like, what I read, I don't see anyone mentioning them. It's just crazy to me.
I do feel like people have started to catch on here.
Okay,
With
I think so.
in light of recent events, especially the shenanigans going on with now we're gonna have Jon Moxley versus CM Punk for the second time in 2 weeks now.
Yeah, all right, save, wait, save it. We'll finish NXT real quick.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, fuck, what were we talking about? Joe Gacy, right?
Just yeah, Joe Gacy.
Because he's not, right, one, he's not creepy enough to pull this stuff off. He just looks like a dude that's a douchebag. He doesn't look like he's a cultist. Like, they're trying to do another Bray Wyatt. That's all they're trying to do. But Bray, or Wyndham Rotunda, whatever you want to call him now, he looked different. This is just some dude with the grizzled young veterans behind him, which I don't care what you call them. They're still the grizzled young veterans.
It's Mick Jagger, good God, Mick Jagger and Keith.
All right, you purposely were getting a name. I was like, it's not fucking Mick Jagger. Is it Jagger Reed?
Yeah, Jagger Reed and Rip Fowler.
Yeah. So, whatever.
Yeah, that's gonna take a while to get used to if I decide to get
No,
used to it.
it's not. That's not gonna last. That's not gonna last. So, but like, that whole thing, that came to a conclusion. Cameron grabs him and he goes, no, I'm going to the moon. We're done. They try to attack. It doesn't work. Joe Gacy hugs him. Oh, no, now I'm conflicted. No, no, no. End this stupid-ass story right now. End it. This isn't working. No one cares. It's just a vacuum. Like, Cameron Grimes is so insignificant now, it kills me.
Yeah, it's terrible. Well, it is kind of funny that people are back to cheering him now. Like, dead father story, like, it's been so weird in the WWE where real-life stories that should be harrowing have made the fans mock people. Because Chris and I talked about the Lacey Evans stuff quite frequently. And Cameron Grimes pours his heart out and basically gets booed because he's wrestling for his dad. But now he's getting cheered just because I guess people are tired of Joe Gacy.
I guess. Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know what that crowd does anymore except they do what they want. I don't think they're being told what to do anymore. I could have swore for the longest time they were told, hey, you need to cheer this person. You need to boo these people. Because they were outrageously in someone's corner for someone they've barely ever seen. And I'm like, this is crazy. And now it just kind of dissipated. And they're just doing whatever they want, like the old NXT days.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because, I don't think Triple H ever did that. You know, there's an easy explanation for that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I do think that those were taped, or, like, I guess, were they I feel like the WWE crowds have started to realize that Vince isn't in charge anymore and have...
So the ratings, apparently.
Yeah, and the crowds have more energy. It does help to be in Toronto where you haven't been for, like, 3 years or something. And be in front of that, an actual 16,000 person crowd.
Yeah. Well, it also, I mean, it's by the ratings, it's very clear people either. The fuck was that? Oh. Jesus. Sorry. She set the alarm. I didn't know.
Oh.
All of a sudden I hear someone talking behind me. I'm like, what? What was I talking about? That seriously spooked me. I'm like, what the fuck? Seriously, what was I talking about? It totally killed me.
I also forgot. Because we moved on from Joe Gacy to someone else.
So the ratings for,
ratings,
for Raw
yeah.
have gone up significantly. Like, they had, like, one of their biggest audiences in a while this week. I think up, like, 600,000 or 200,000, something like that. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, I think people have gotten word that things have changed, and I'm not surprised that at least some people came by to check it out.
If they stopped by Monday and they saw the Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins sit down, I would think they'd either stick around or go, okay, I'm coming back next week. Because that's something you would never have gotten if Vince McMahon was in charge. No chance in hell.
Oh. Jesus,
I can't believe I just did that. That was not intended. But
yeah, that was a great segment this week.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, hey, this is what happened when the cameras went off. I'm like, what are they, or when the camera stopped rolling or with the commercial, I'm like, what are they doing? And then I forgot all about it, but it was a take on Daniel Cormier and Jon Jones. From a few years ago?
Yeah, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah,
when they
that
did
makes
that,
sense.
And Seth's like, yeah, because your wife took your kids to divorce your bitch ass. And I was like, what the fuck did he just say? And he wasn't in like his Seth Rollins character anymore, and Riddle just turns red-faced. He's like, yeah, because she couldn't stand your bitch ass anymore. And he kept calling him a bitch. Riddle's clearly saying fuck. And I'm like, what is going on? And then they just go back and like, wow, that was pretty tense. Back to the action. I'm like, what? No. Go back to that. I mean, it was jarring.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have a show full of that. Their feud has been fantastic, though.
And people were dogging on the found like the fan footage of them fighting in the parking lot. Hey, at least they're trying.
Oh, there were people that didn't like that.
They're like the footage of them fighting outside, like earlier in the day. It came from someone's cell phone or whatever.
Oh, right.
And everyone's like, "That's clearly just WWE." Yes, of course, it's just WWE. I don't understand people sometimes.
It's,
like, the TV show is for wrestling fans, but they're also going after a bigger audience. Okay, so if you see something like that, you're like, oh, these guys were actually fighting beforehand? Like, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's one of those, let's try to keep kayfabe. I mean, that is the one thing about the whole parking lot situation, and I think something that Triple H has done fairly well is kind of get them in context outside of the ring to make them seem like they genuinely don't like each other.
Yeah.
Just because it gives it a different vibe when you're not in the ring and you're still hating on someone.
Well, do you think that the reason this feud's gone this way is because they're trying to play up on like that real life stuff? That happened, what, a year or two ago? Riddle and Rollins?
Yeah.
What I was wondering, if that's what they're like, hey, I think people will remember this.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely playing on that. I could see them modeling it after, that because it was kind of similar with Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. I mean, hey, yeah, Mr. Hit and Run trying to be high and mighty on someone, which is hilarious.
I forgot what was said during the Jon Jones thing, but when they said that it was supposed to be that, I was like, oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
But, it got super personal because of the thing said. So, like I said, the model makes a great deal of sense. And, yeah, I mean, that did happen. How many times have we gotten real life storylines pulled into things? You know, if everyone keeps on using that line against Riddle, it starts to get watered down at some juncture.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But like you said, the first go round, it's always a little jarring, and things are definitely happening different in the WWE these days, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think one of the nice parts is it shows a little more modern sensibility. I know it was a couple of years ago it happened, but at least it's referenced from this century.
Oh.
You know? So that's a positive. It's a plus. And then, boy, Triple H, like, Kevin Nash mentioned this on his podcast, I guess? It's like a video podcast, whatever, but he came to Triple H's defense. He's like, he had his heart issue, and they couldn't wait to tear down everything he built in NXT.
Uh-oh.
So he comes in, and he starts tearing down the shit they built up. And he's like, good for him, because fuck him. I don't understand how Kevin Nash became this voice of reason guy. Just like Randy Orton did.
Oh.
Like what? So just even like the news, like Jeff Jarrett's out, Road Dogg's in as like the live events guy, which is weird because apparently business went up. Like live event business went up when Jeff Jarrett was in control. So it's kind of a ballsy thing. And then
yeah, it's kind of weird. Like I don't know what you account that for. You know.
Yeah. Well, people wanting to go to wrestling again, they're doing a much better job of promoting them.
I do feel like they've pushed the house shows a lot more in general on Raw and SmackDown, of just showing the cities that they're going to be in. And I've kind of mentioned it, some of the Raws recently, like now I feel like they've kind of gotten away from it again in like the near past here, but they started hitting like the Daytons and the Toledos and some of the smaller, decent-sized crowd, cities recently, and I've got to think that that helps to at least keep people's mind on your product to get to more markets. It's hard to, you know, go to a live event that late at night in another city.
Yeah.
Like, I really have only considered doing that a handful of times. Like, because even going down to Dayton is enough of a hassle that I don't really want to do that for a Raw. Like, so I wouldn't want to drive up from Dayton to Columbus to do the same thing, you know? So yeah,
I remember that time we drove from Kent to Columbus for a Raw.
Well, it's, I was down there already, so it didn't. But yeah, you guys did do that.
No, we were supposed to stay at your place, but you refused to turn the air conditioning on. You had just moved to Columbus.
Right. That's what I just said.
Oh, I thought you said you were still in Kent. I was like, no, you weren't. Well, fuck, we'd be going to Columbus if you were in Kent. Never mind.
No, I completely agreed with you.
Oh, Jesus. Sorry. Yeah, so anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. So that's weird. And then reading today that he's bringing back somebody else. Ryan something? Who was like one of his guys in NXT. Who apparently was very influential and very hands-on and hard worker that they just jettisoned as soon as Triple H was gone.
Yeah, it isn't surprising that a lot of the support staff that was with Triple H has been recalled over this span.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then also just look at the talent. I mean, you already saw the talent he's brought back, which may have people checking the show out as well. But then, like, the rumored people, like, Braun Strowman's name keeps getting tossed around like crazy.
Yeah, definitely saw that today in a couple of different places. Yeah.
Bronson Reed, or Jonah, is another one. Which, I would rather see Jonah than Braun.
Oh.
It's new. I mean, you know, technically newer. But it's like, if Roman wins this weekend, which they're going to have to come up with something spectacular to not put the titles on Drew. They have run those videos, the idea, like, he's redemption. Like, we're supposed to forget that he was WWE champion, I guess. And, like, this is his final, this is, like, his big shot for the title finally, which, what? But...
Yeah, I guess I don't quite feel that angle. I do feel like they're playing up the home turf angle for sure.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right.
But yeah, they've kind of almost booked it where it will seem strange if McIntyre doesn't win.
Yes.
Especially, like, and I know that it's not before the week of the pay-per-view. But that beatdown that Drew took this past week, I don't think Roman Reigns can get enough comeuppance on this week's SmackDown to warrant Drew not winning the championship the next day.
I mean, if that was the beatdown that happened before they go, even if it's recorded, right?
Yeah.
If that's the beatdown, it's the last thing you see, and then the next day he has to wrestle, then you've at least built in that he's been beaten down like that.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
And give it some pause, but it's still, like, you're going to beat him on his home turf in a stadium, clearly knowing the reaction that his first title victory got over there. Like, we all saw the videos, the bar is going insane for him. When he won. The Royal Rumble, at least. Because I don't think they did it for the WrestleMania because it was a pandemic.
Right. Yeah. That is the other angle that at least Chris and I have talked about. It seems like they're kind of setting this up for the Drew McIntyre finally gets to win it in front of a crowd scene since he, really got the short end of the stick in being featured when his WrestleMania was within his grasp, and it was taken away 2 weeks before WrestleMania.
Yeah, and then they had the like just the weirdness of it. He beat Brock clean, cool. And then all of a sudden, Big Show gets a match right after. Like, what a weird thing to do. I never understood that. But that's far in the past. So going forward, now they said Tyson Fury is going to be at the show, and I saw Chris say something like, "Well, here's a possible excuse for, like Drew losing or something like that," insinuating that Tyson Fury can cost Drew the match.
You could. Like, you've got to come up with that level of interference to justify Drew not winning and to give some people some reason to not completely boo you out of the building.
Yeah, it could. I mean, in all fairness, it could be he gets involved because the Usos keep getting involved.
Yeah.
And then you could have Sammy get involved, Kevin Owens get involved, and Tyson Fury's like, the hell with this, and accidentally knocks Drew out with a punch. So he's not like a total bad guy, but he did mess it up. But is that satisfying? Like, is the crowd really going to buy that? I just think the booking of this has been so strong for Drew, they put themselves in a corner. You haven't had a stadium show in 30 years, right?
Yes.
And the last time you did, your main event was a British Bulldog winning the IC title in Wembley Stadium going bananas. So 30 years later, you got the guy from Scotland with everything against him, and you're going to have him lose?
Yeah.
So, I
Feels
just.
destined for Drew to win.
It does. And that's okay. I mean, if it was just another match, fine. But the way they've built it up, it's like, no, because I was still saying it should be Cody, but whatever. But, you change plans.
Yeah,
And I know we're
occasionally
not good.
injuries do cost you a championship.
Yeah, and I know we didn't talk about how great Sami Zayn's been and the addition of Kevin Owens, but speaking of changing plans, now I don't care that CM Punk's getting a title shot again. I don't like the defense of this. I know it's supposed to be it's the story. Well, it wasn't the story before. It was changed on the fly. It was Moxley's idea. Yeah, I'll just beat you for him. And then in your hometown, you beat me for him. Who in AEW has ever gotten a rematch? No one. And I know that they can be like, well, Ace Steel grabbed the contract, that's why he's doing it. Okay, storyline, sure. In storyline, it's like a redemptive arc, right?
In very short order.
I think they underestimated Moxley's popularity last night. He wasn't getting booed that bad. He was legit getting cheered until he mentioned CM Punk. Then it was like, hey, well, hang on, like, he
Well,
was like, hey, we hate you for saying this.
and CM Punk didn't exactly do himself any favors.
Exactly. No, yeah, you jumped right ahead to what I was going to say. Exactly. That crowd was like, what are you whining for? Like, they were taunting him. It wasn't just one guy. There were a bunch of Colt Cabana chants. And let's not ignore the fact that when Moxley threw the contract down, they were chanting MJF.
Yeah.
So, in a crowd that should have been CM Punk, they were all resigned to the fact, like, okay, he had a shot.
yeah, I guess they did kind of realize that it's something that shouldn't be too shocking, but John Moxley is very popular.
Very. I dare say that's more than he's ever been over. Any time is Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. While I do not think that he necessarily is probably as householdy as either Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins, he's doing okay for himself. And the new persona, sans drinking, has really worked out for him, even if I think that theme song still sucks for him.
That's terrible. His original one in AEW is much better. The weird Triple H one in WWE is better, but whatever. That's what they like. So, sure. But yeah, like, Ace Steel comes out, gets all over CM Punk, right?
Yeah.
And apparently really dropped an F-bomb that was not on purpose. He had to pay a fine for that. They went to charity. I'm like, no, I'll just pay a charity so you guys don't get your tax write-off. Get out of here. Anyways. Here's the receipt. I paid him. But like everyone does with Goodwill stuff. But he gets on Punk. He gets on Punk. And then all of a sudden, Punk turns into someone totally different. And I'm watching this going, the crowd response does not warrant you hulking up. I can't think of what to say.
Oh, yeah. Good
the
enough.
The crowd was tepid. Well, not tepid, that's the total wrong word. The crowd was not white hot the way that I think they expected it to be. And I think it hurt the angle. If that crowd was going nuts, like, when he was like, I'm down, I'm done, and they're, like, dead silent or booing or whatever, then okay. And then when he's like, the crowd's, like, trying to pump him up after Ace Steel, yeah, they had a pretty good reaction, but it wasn't what they were expecting.
Yeah, it did not get the gusto that I think that they were expecting it would. It did, yeah, like you said, it didn't bomb by any stretch of the imagination. Also, yeah, when you were like, oh, you sold out, you know, this town or whatever, and everyone's like, yeah, it's like, ooh, that is underwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I just thought it felt flat, and I don't know. It should have been better, and it wasn't. So that kind of sucked. That kind of sucked the life out of the thing.
Yeah, well, it's just a short turnaround time to try and tell that story.
Too short.
Yeah, like,
if you would have given it a month, sure.
Yeah. A week is just not enough. Or is it 2 weeks in between? Whatever, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's not enough time. You know, it just it really was not, and that's kind of really hurt it. And yeah, just the Trios Championship, I guess, is supposed to be another pool of this pay per view. I know that Kenny Omega's involved. Don't really care. Like, I've seen enough tag team matches in AEW now to be tired of them. Now they just have six-man matches that don't have any rules, and I don't care.
Yeah, I enjoyed that match last night. I didn't think for 1 second Will Ospreay and them were going to win. So it was like, whatever. And I'm guessing the Dark Order wins Friday. That's what I'm guessing. Because now Hangman's involved. So you've got Hangman's new crew, Kenny Omega and the Bucks. They're trying to be on good terms, but it's also a championship. And also, the last time Kenny and the Bucks beat Dark Order, which prevented Hangman from getting his title shot. So there is a story there. And I don't mind it. I've actually been enjoying Kenny Omega's work a lot more, like the last few times he's been out. because he's actually selling a lot of stuff. He's acting like all this stuff really hurts. And maybe it does, by the way.
But yeah.
It's not what he usually does. And I'm actually really enjoying it.
I guess it does depend upon if it really hurts or not. It is definitely something different that he's definitely going with the I'm playing in pain angle.
Yeah,
and
I don't remember him ever doing.
Yeah, he certainly looks like it. It's been fun so far. Like it's been a short time. It's a good way to kind of get him reintroduced into the ring without having him go straight for a championship, too. Like, I always it's a good way to go.
Yeah. Well, I think, I'm going to say, but obviously I'll be wrong, but I get the feeling he's done chasing the AEW title for a while. He had the title, so he can say he was AEW champion of the company he works for and created. Cool. But, and maybe this is just a larger booking problem too, but there's so many people that don't do anything on this show or in this company right now. So, him going after the title, yeah, it'll probably happen once, but I don't see it being a focus for him anymore. He even said he's 40 years old, but goddamn, all those New Japan matches. And hell, the stuff they did Wednesday. Like, him and Will Ospreay just don't care about walking later in life. So, go for it, guys. But.
Oh, yeah, they're crazy people.
Yeah. Oh, that one. Was it. Okay, I can't tell if the animosity with Omega and. Osprey's real or not, but boy, do those two really make it look like they hated each other in that match. And to me, that was a more like work that I haven't seen Kenny Omega do before. I can't say I was that familiar with him before he became super popular in New Japan. So like the cleaner stuff when he was like the silver hair and the junior heavyweight, all that, I didn't see that stuff. I just didn't.
Right.
So maybe he did different character work back then, but he's always been like this, the goofy bad guy, or the goofy good guy. And that, and last or the Wednesday he was not. And that Snapdragon, like Osprey goes out, and he just Snapdragon suplexes him on the floor. I was like, just stop! What are you guys doing? It looks amazing, but that, like, we all know those pads are terrible. That's not padding. It's just to prevent you from splitting your head open. That's all that does.
Yeah, people really like to get injured these days. I mean, it goes back to, honestly, one of your first points. Sheamus and Gunther, they are really going to hurt each other. Wrestlers really legitimately love to hurt each other these days. It's just like, nah, this is for entertainment. And I'm like, okay, man.
Well, he was Walter back then, but even Sheamus and Drew, they had like their big drag out matches. Oh. They weren't hitting each other with anything that could seriously harm them. It's you're hitting people in the correct spots to where, yes, it will leave a mark and look awesome. It'll make a good sound. It's just gonna, it'll bruise a little bit. You're not gonna break anything. You're not gonna seriously hurt each other.
Yeah.
But it's gonna sound and look awesome.
Yeah, that is a subtle difference, that taking a suplex on your head and neck region that can't exactly be pinpointed. There's a lot that can go wrong in that situation.
Yeah. And it just, dump it on your head stuff. It's like, when are they going to realize it's going to catch up to them? But I don't think they care.
They've got to know at this point. They've seen the other old wrestlers and how their bodies are. And if they haven't, that's on you guys. You're telling me that you're filming, or that you're watching tape then watch tape of them after their careers are over.
Yeah. So, but no, it... The pay-per-view, they threw together so quick. Like it seemingly was going to be Jade Cargill and Athena. Okay, that made sense. But it just gets added out of the blue. And I say out of the blue because there was, like, no announcement on TV. It was just, hey, this is on the card now. Like,
they kind of had a little bit of build-up on Rampage. It still hasn't been as well-structured as I would have liked.
Yeah. But they had so many that's a goofy feud, too. Because remember, Jade called anybody out to come face her. And Athena and, well, at the time, Chris Statlander didn't come out. Some other chick took their place. And Jade correctly calls him out on it. And I went, you just made him look bad. And they're like, oh, we weren't even in the building. It's like, well, why are you backstage saying you're not in the building? Like, get to work on time. That doesn't make any sense.
The thing that didn't make any sense is just like, hey, you're not wrestling anyone. It's just like, dude, I just had an open challenge. Like, what do you want here? Yeah, if you want someone to cheer for the baby face as some type against some cowardly heel that isn't defending their championship, it's one thing. It's another thing when she is defending the championship and doing the exact opposite of what the babyface is accusing them of.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, not been a good setup for that. Athena, not any better off in her present state than she was in the WWE.
Well, at least she's wrestling. Remember, she would just disappear for months on end. Even she was like, I don't even know what they want me doing anymore. But the rest of this is, like, the House of Black and Miro and them, okay? Sure.
Because is it FTR who's teaming with Miro?
No, Wardlow.
Oh.
Against.
You sure about that?
Oh, yeah. They're teaming against Motor City Machine Guns and Jay Lethal.
Oh, so it's an 8-man match?
No.
Oh, 6.
No, FTR and Wardlow, and then Machine Guns and what's his name? Jay Lethal. Because AEW insists on putting Jay Lethal on TV all the fucking time now. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's one where the credentials do not match up with. But I guess I liked him in some of his ROH run. That's kind of run its course, and he's just been kind of whatever for a while now.
I'm tired of Jay Lethal. I really am tired of Sanjay Dutt. I don't know what the other guy's name is. That's how much I don't care. Oh, Satam Singh. Yep. I don't care about him either. Go away. I know they're trying to utilize the people they have, and I
don't constantly make
excuses about people being hurt. I don't care.
Well, Jay Lethal is one of the handful of ROH guys that signed an actual AEW deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So you're, at least with Jay Lethal, you're not getting that wish.
Yeah, I put him back in ROH. I mean,
well, yeah, that seems like a weird thing too. Like, they feature way too much ROH to not just make it its own hour.
Rampage should probably just be Ring of Honor. Or just put Ring of Honor on YouTube.
Replace either Elevation or Dark, or I don't know if they're those are different shows or the same one. I don't care.
We do this every time, and every time I go, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? Like, neither of us have taken the time out or the effort to find out what's what.
Nope, not really a gimmick. I just truly don't care to look or figure it out. So,
yeah, so news. All right, did you see the news came out that apparently some people asked for their release from AEW today?
Oh no, I did not see that. I only saw Braun Strowman news today.
Okay, so apparently people, there are rumors. All right, nothing solid. Rumors are saying that. Are saying that what's his Aleister Black?
Oh, Malachi Black.
Jesus, yeah, Malachi Black. I don't know how that's not a penalty, but Malachi Black and apparently maybe Miro both asked for their release, and then Bobby Fish is gone from the company too. He just didn't re-sign Bobby Fish.
Well, I mean, whatever, I guess.
Well, okay, you can say that, but I was thinking about this today, actually, before I even knew about the Bobby Fish stuff.
I don't know what you do with Kyle O'Reilly, since no one ever seems to have really taken to him as a singles wrestler, despite my enjoyment of said character.
Yeah, but Tony Khan likes him as a singles wrestler, so I guess he sees value. Cool. Here's the problem. You had Adam Cole and Red Dragon come out, beat down the Bucks. Nothing came of it. Zero. Nothing. So the clear plan should be the Bucks and Omega going, we're getting back at Adam Cole and them. No. It's been ignored. The entire time. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I guess that has not been part of the trio's tournament, and it's something that I hadn't thought about.
Well, they were not cleared to wrestle. Okay, then don't do the angle. Just be like, hey, Bobby's going to be off doing his own thing. We can't be there for you. You got to find someone else. And then do the angle afterwards. It's so dumb. Now Bobby Fish is gone, you won't get a payoff. When in fact, all signs were pointing, and it doesn't matter if the Bucks weren't supposed to win the titles or not, before that, all signs pointed to the Bucks and FTR, so FTR could win all the titles.
Oh.
I don't care. If they say anything otherwise, that's bullshit. Something happened, and they killed the plan. FTR has cooled down so much now.
Oh,
so many people have cooled down exponentially.
Yeah, I could. FTR is kind of whatever. They can carry around as many belts as they want to. I'm just sitting there going, the only belts that you don't have are the ones from your employer, your main employer here. It's kind of saying something to me.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, and that didn't make any sense. Releasing Bobby Fish without a payoff makes no sense. Not re-signing him.
Whatever. Yeah.
Or at least go, hey, Bobby, stick around so that when everyone's clear, we can take care of this. And we can just write you off or something.
Yeah, that's another one where you sign like a 3-month contract. Something similar to the Gargano and Adam Cole at the end of NXT deals. Where you're just going month to month.
Yeah.
To finish an angle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Finish up that angle.
So, but like that doesn't make any sense. Okay. Why, and this is nothing personal, because the story is fantastic. Why did you bring in William Morrissey? Do you really need more people? I mean, do you understand who was not on that show last night? Like, all the people that are not on there. And they said, well, you know, there's a lot of injuries. There's an all-star roster of injuries. Okay, they're coming back eventually. So what are you going to do? When you already have people... Where's Ethan Page? Remember he made that big stink about not being on TV? Where the hell is he at?
Scorpio Sky. Is he injured or...
Yeah, he's injured. So that's
oh, okay. Yeah, Ethan Page has made the same argument that he's been undervalued since he came into the company a year ago, and he continues to not be on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we've got the wingmen on there, and yes, they're just there to be sacrificial lambs, so okay. But, like, we don't get enough TV time. And it's like, I didn't know you guys were still there. Like, I don't... Like, not even in a mean way, but you're always on Dark. Nick Nemeth somehow got a TNT title shot, which... That title is dead, too. Who cares?
I was thinking on this week's Rampage, I'm like, is it just hard to have babyface champions? Like, I'm really starting to wonder whether... Because it just feels like almost every babyface champion, you love the story, and they just get no momentum afterwards. Yep. Wardlow just does not feel hot anymore.
Well, he had some interviews saying that MJF, that whole thing, killed his momentum. And I went, no, it didn't, because the next day, you were in an angle with Smart Mark Sterling and security guards. So don't tell me the MJF thing ruined it when that was the plan the next night.
It might have been the start of the downfall, but it wasn't the downfall itself. Like, there's been a lot of stuff that's gone wrong since then for them. For him. Just being in a six-man tag match, just like, huh?
Yes. This is just to get everyone on the show. Like, they might as well just have a battle royal. Well, they already do have one of those. So never mind. With a mystery person, by the way.
Yeah, well, and they're having a trios championship on the same card with another six-man tag match.
Yeah, of a team that lost in the trios tournament. Yeah, we can do this real quick. Eddie Kingston is fighting someone from New Japan Wrestling. There are how many people on your goddamn roster he can fight? If the Sammy Guevara stuff is all settled, have him fight Sammy Guevara then. What are you doing? As punishment for you guys acting like children, you have to be on the show opener. You don't get it on a pay-per-view, but you have to wrestle each other. There. Logical makes sense. But instead, you're bringing someone from another company. Just like in your six-man tournament, you're bringing people from another company. Stop bringing in other companies' people. Enough. No one else. No more TNA guys. Why the fuck are the Machine Guns on this card? They're in TNA.
And I think Shahid and I talked about this last week. AEW has a big enough roster that I generally like the idea of fighting other companies or leaving it open to have this happen. This has lasted too long at this point. You know, the ROH stuff is built in because your owner bought the company, and then you throw in New Japan, you throw in NWA occasionally, mostly for women's stuff. And you also throw in, like you said, TNA people. It's too much. Just concentrate on your product. You know, like, this whole... Because I guess, they already did the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. I guess I thought that they were done with the New Japan stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. They had the pay-per-view. Now we're done. And that has not been the case at all.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you have people in your company that you're paying not being featured and used. So, you know, call me crazy, but why throw out extra money when you have a roster full of people that, if you're saying aren't over, that's your fault?
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing that we're kind of getting to, and I think people are finally settling in. AEW does not have that new car smell anymore. Is this year the beginning of year four, essentially, with this pay-per-view? I mean, I know that the company itself did not start until a little bit later. But this pay-per-view marks 4 years since I went to Chicago for the first one. Yeah, new car smell is definitely done for these guys, and you know it's surprising when Vince gets tossed off TV how the comparisons change in a drastic hurry.
Hey, WWE's not perfect, and AEW's not perfect as well. So correct. That's all right, but to me, like, I didn't agree with the whole title thing, but I was willing to give it a chance. And yet here we are, and it didn't go over well. And maybe that's the logical story. He's got to get his whatever. I just think it was a mistake.
CM Punk needs to get his mojo back after one whole loss.
Yeah, his only loss ever, and he got his ass handed to him. And I heard Dave Meltzer was listening today, and he was saying that, you know, UFC, they'll do this sort of thing. If, you know, if it's not good, you don't get a rematch. And, you know, if it's dominating, you don't usually get a rematch. Well, that's what happened with CM Punk, so why is he getting a rematch?
Well, and on top of... And on top of that, he's like, yeah, I legit had an injury. Like, why am I supposed to think that that's healed in 2 weeks? A foot injury that takes months to heal. Like, I don't understand why Moxley shouldn't blast him again.
Okay, if I'll be dead serious, if that happens, I will take back everything I said. Because that will be incredible. But does that hurt business if you do that? Say this one goes 5 minutes instead of three. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I guess it feels so unexpected that if they do that, I will legitimately be shocked. You know, like, I feel like that's a near zero chance of happening. And, yeah, if they go with it, I'd love it. And it would, again, it would make sense. You know, unless CM Punk was lying, he doesn't have a foot injury then and faked it, I guess, in the other match? Question mark? I guess you could work that angle. I don't know.
He said it's 100%, but it's a new 100%. So I guess it just feels different, and it bothered him. So it was never actually hurt. This wasn't explained. This is my rationale.
Fair enough. As good as any.
It freaked him out. He thought he was hurt, and it wasn't. And it made him put his guard down, and he got blasted. So...
Yeah, well, I guess I'd still like to see a Jon Moxley win in any event.
Dude, I'm on the fence because I know we're goofing on this pay-per-view. Well, I am because it's just a bunch of matches. So Kip Sabian, hey, you remember him? He gets a title shot.
Who's he wrestling?
Pac for the Mid-Atlantic
title. Oh, shit. I forgot about the Atlantic title.
I think that's on the undercard. Yeah, because okay, to their credit, that title has been fought overseas, and they've recorded everything, and they put it on Dark. I actually don't mind that. That's something different.
Well, and they, I know that I've at least seen clips. Maybe it's another Rampage thing that I've seen it on. So they have gotten it on big TV also. At least some of the highlight packages of those matches.
Yeah. But like Kip Sabian takes the box off. He looks like a Batman villain. And he's like, you didn't see that coming, did you? Why would you? Did they ever say, I mean, I'll be dead serious. Did they ever explain that the guy with the box on his head was Kip Sabian? For the year and a half he's been doing it?
Oh, I don't know. I know that they started to mention it because that first, the first video clip I remember of Pac defending it overseas, they had Boxhead Guy on the, again, I believe it was a Rampage. So they've at least had him in storyline-wise. For most of this run. You know, it hasn't necessarily been, I don't know. How long has the Boxhead Guy been around? Has it been longer than, like, a month and a half here?
How are you containing yourself right now? Oh my god. Sorry, gang. Pitch us their pick six. 3 minutes left.
That was a definite taint action going on there. Touchdown after interception.
Wow. Anyways, far more interesting than Kip Sabian. I don't know.
Oh.
The whole point is, what?
Yeah. It's Kip Sabian wasn't a thing beforehand. It's okay if you want to try to make him a thing, but have him have something before a championship match.
Yeah.
You know, like, have him... we know it's been an overseas thing, and he's an English guy, so we have some connections there. Yeah, it'd still be nice to see him somewhat earn the situation. And he is not in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to try building people up, fine, but whatever. Not the week of the pay-per-view. So...
It's been a real... Because, I mean, the reveal wasn't until a couple of weeks ago.
No, the reveal was last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
It's tough. It's tough being Kip Sabian, other than the fact that he got to marry Penelope Ford.
Yeah, which was the most interesting thing about him. And she got hurt. That's why she's been gone for all this time.
Yeah. Oh.
So I was like, damn. What kind of newlywed stuff are you guys getting into? Good for you two. Good for you two. So... But anyway, I don't even know all the matches on the card, so that's why I'm kind of torn. I gotta see what the price is.
I'm assuming it's $50.
What'd you say? Sorry.
I'm assuming it's $50. I haven't looked at the price tag, but that's my assumption. $40 or $50.
There's some good college football games on Sunday, though. So I can spend $50 on something I may or may not like, or watch something I may or may not like for free. So, it's a toss-up. But I don't think the build for this has been good.
No.
So I don't...
No, when the longest build that you've had is for your championship match that we've basically shit on this whole show, not good, Jim. Not good.
Yeah.
That is your main selling point, and the build has not been good. So yeah, not a great pay-per-view. Like I said, I guess I think that I will probably get it. We don't really have anything on the docket for Sunday evening since both of our teams are playing currently. And yeah, I think that does it.
Yeah, it's fine. I know you want to watch the end of this game too, so.
Bell time beer on my end. I finally got around. I figured it was about time since Land Grant should be doing an anniversary beer here in maybe about a month, I believe. Or they technically, I think they pushed their anniversary up to September here to coincide with football season and slightly better weather than October, which is a smart plan. But this is their 1,000th batch. It is their Baklava Imperial Stout brewed with pistachios, walnuts, and Ohio honey. There is, this was my favorite. They had four different versions. I only got to try three. There was an ancho chili one that was just okay. And I'm trying to think of the third one that I tried, and I can't think of it offhand. And this one, and the baklava was my favorite. And, yeah, glad to have that during this fine college football Thursday night here. So that is the recommendation from @DeFrango11. Do you have one at Granny Mays?
No, I just did my power, my Gatorade Zero again. I have to rehydrate.
I did need to have some water during this show, so there was consumption of multiple liquids.
Yeah, I still have half gallon to go. I'm at the halfway Bravo point on my water bottle, so
oof,
I'll be waking up peeing like crazy.
Yep, have fun waking up in the middle of the night, old man. Yeah. So, grandkids, the brand is at Stunt Granny. You can download us at any number of locations, whether it's at Apple. And you can rate and review us there. You can download us at Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Google. Have a good night.
Later.